Okay, today's daf is Shabbat, daf Chaf Zayin. We are at the bottom of Chaf Vav Amud Bet. We're at U L'Rava De Amar. Basically, we just established that we established the source for the din that everyone agrees upon, which is that a cloth made of wool or flax that is 3 by 3 finger breadths is subject to be Mekabel Tuma. However, there are some dinim that are subject to a dispute that we referenced, such as the debate between Rava and Abaye. Rava believes that there's a machloket between Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that as to whether or not a cloth that is 3 full hand breadths by 3 hand breadths that is not wool or flax could be Mekabel Tuma. So now we're going to explore the source for that din. If you believe that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds that a cloth that is 3 by 3 hand breadths, even if it's not wool or flax, can be Mekabel Tuma. So what's the source for that? So we left off at Ula Rava de Amar Shlosha al Shlosha Bishar Begodim Ika Benayhu. So Rava, who holds that 3 by 3 hand breadths by all other begadim, which can be Mekabel Tuma, is subject to a dispute between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar itle. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar believes that it can be Mekabel Tuma because it's significant enough of a size that even though it's other garments, it's still going to be Mekabel Tuma. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel latele shlosha al shlosha. According to Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, it doesn't matter. It's not wool and not flax, and therefore it can't be Mekabel Tuma. Bishar begadim Minale Navka. Right, so where do we know that from other cloths that they can be Mekabel Tuma if they are a big enough size? May we learn it from this. O Beged, right? The words O Beged. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braita, Beged, Ainli Ela Beged, Shlosha al Shlosha Bishar Begadim Minayin. So from the fact that it teaches me Beged, I know that a beged, what we generally constitute as a beged, wool or flax, is ro'i lekabel tuma. However, if it's 3 by 3 hand breadths by other begadim, not wool or flax, how do I know that it can be mekabel tuma? Talmud lomar o beged, from the additional words of o beged. That comes to include an additional type of beged, which can also be mekabel tuma, and that is other begadim, garments made from other cloths, other materials, as long as they are big enough. As long as those cloths are big enough, they're 3 by 3 hand breadths. Ve'abaye. Okay, but now, since this only exists by Rava, right? Rava and Abaye have this machloket as to whether or not Rav Shimon ben Elazar and Tana de Rabbi Shmuel are actually arguing. So this whole thing that we just taught was according to Rava. According to Rava, you have this machloket here, but according to Abaye, there's no machloket between them, in which case, this limud to teach me that 3 by 3 hand breadths by other begadim are going to be Mekabel Tuma, Abaye just doesn't accept that at all. But we have an extra word. It says, oh, beged, not just beged. That extra word comes to teach me that the other garments are also ro'i lekabel tuma. In which case, what does Abaye do with that extra word, right? Because Rava needs this word to teach, to support his shita. But Abaye doesn't need that word. But you can't just have an extra word in the Torah. So what exactly is that word used for according to Abaye? Hi, O Beged, my Avidle. What does he do with O Beged? Mi Baile. No. He needs it. L'rabot shalosh alosh shalosh bitzemer ufishtim dimitame bishrotzim. Up until now, we only taught that 3 by 3 is the size in order for something to be Mekabel Tuma by Nega'im, by someone who's afflicted with Tzerat, let's say. If you're Tameh with a certain affliction, right, then you can be Mekabel this Beged if it's that size. But how do I know that something can contract Tuma by a Sheretz, right, by a type of creepy crawly insect? How do I know that it's ro'i lekabel tuma from shrotzim as well? It's a different type of tuma, so maybe it wouldn't be. And that's why I need o beged, right? I learned o beged that it's not just this begadim is mekabel tuma from nega'im, it's also mekabel tuma from shrotzim. So there, there's no extra words according to Abaye. Uverava. Oh, then you have to ask if that's a special din. Meaning, if I would not have automatically known that a beged is going to be mekabel tuma from shrotzim, and Abaye needed to learn it from that extra word, then I have to ask, Rava, how do you know this din? V'Rava, Gali Rachmana Gabe Negaim, V'hu Hadin L'Shratzin. Because the Torah already taught it to me regarding Negaim, right? Regarding the clothes itself would contract tuma from a mitzora, from someone who has tarat, right? And I have no reason to differentiate between that type of tuma and the tuma of shratzim, in which case I know it by negaim. There's no really significant distinction between negaim and shratzim, so I'm going to assume through a mechanism called a binyan av, what's true by this must be true by that, unless there's a significant distinction between them that it's also going to contract tuma by shratzim. Ve'abaye, okay, well then, and, you know, if that's the case, that there's no distinction between the two, then Abaye should also learn it from a binyan av. Why does he need an extra word to teach him that? So now we're going to challenge Abaye's shita. Ikel mifrach. Abaye says, no. You could have rejected that binyan av. You say they're not exactly the same. Sure, I learned it by negaim. But I have a reason to suggest that Negaim is different than Shratzim, in which case it doesn't help me because I have a difference between the two such that I need an extra word to teach me that it's Mitame by Shratzim. Why? Ikel Mifrach, because you reject it as follows. Mala Negaim Shekin Shati V'arev Mitame Behem. Right? Because by Negaim, there's a unique din that we said that the strings that were used to weave together are Mekabel Tuma from Negaim before they're even woven together. That's a Chumra by Negaim that doesn't exist by Shratzim. In which case, if Negaim is more Machmir than Shratzim, then I could not have assumed, I could suggest that these Dinim are significantly different. Okay, but if that's the case, that Negaim is more Machmir, then yeah, you can't really learn it from a Binyan Av, in which case, what does Rava do in this case? How would he explain why he still learns it from Binyan Av? V'idach, isal g'daitach negaim chamirei, lichtav rachmana gabe shratzim, v'leitu negaim minayhu. Right? Well then, if it's true, if it's really true that negaim is more machmir than shratzim, and the Torah is going to teach things in the most concise possible manner, right, in ways that doesn't need to use extra words if it's not necessary, then here's what you should have done. You should have taught me this din by shratzim. Rather than teaching me by negaim, the garments that become tameh, teach me this din by shratzim. And then, because shratzim is more makel than negaim, what am I going to do? I'm going to learn a kal v'chomer. Well, if it's true by shratzim, kal v'chomer. Chomer, it's true by Negaim, in which case the Torah could have said that if we really see Negaim as more Machmir than Shratzim. But because the Torah didn't say that, even though that would be the most concise way of going about it, I know that we don't see Negaim as more Machmir than Shratzim. Because if we did, I'd have an easy way to teach these Dinim in a more concise fashion by just teaching it by Shratzim and then using a Kal V'Chomer than Negaim. V'idach. Okay, then, you know, how does Abaye respond to that? Negaim is Shratzim lo atu. No. The Torah could not have done that because you couldn't have learned Negaim from Shratzim. If you would have taught Shratzim, I would not have been able to learn Negaim. Why? The ikalamifrach, because also you could reject that because there's something that's more machmir about shratzim than by negaim. Mal shratzim shekein metame beke adasha. Shratzim convey tuma with the size of a lentil, meaning even if you have a contact with a tiny, tiny amount of a sheret, you're makabal tuma. That's not the case by negaim, in which case you have this tzad chamor. There's a more stringent side to shratzim that I would have, you know, if you taught me by shratzim and I said, well, maybe I can learn that out to negaim, I would have said, no, you can't learn it to negaim because this tuma beke adasha, the fact that it conveys tuma in a very small size, the size of a lentil, is more machmir by shratzim than it is by negaim. So you can't draw that kal v'chomer, in which case I can't learn a dashim, shratzim from negaim, I can't learn negaim from shratzim, that way I need these extra words. Amar Abaye, haya tana debay Rabbi Shmuel, mafik mi'idach tana debay Rabbi Shmuel. So Abaye says as follows. Abaye says there's a teaching from a Tana in the house in the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel that totally completely rejects that teaching of that we just mentioned of the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, right? The Tani Debei Rabbi Shmuel as an additional Tana taught in the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel, Beged Ainli Ela Beged Semerufishtim, right? So the fact that it teaches me Beged I only know that this is true by a beged that is tzemer ufishtim. Minayin lirabot tzemer gemalim. So how do I know also by the hair of a camel that can also be mekabel tuma, v'tzemer arnavim, or of a rabbit, notza shel izim, or of a goat, v'ashirin, v'akalach, v'asrikin, or three different types of silk? How do I know by those begadim they can also be mekabel tuma? Talmud lomar, o beged. We learn that from o beged that all other types of garments as well can be mekabel tuma. But we just said that the Tana Debi Rabbi Shmuel said that only the Tzemer Ufishtim can be Mekabel Tuma. In which case, you have two different Tanaim from the house of Rabbi, from the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel, who say completely and totally opposite things. It's possible, it's just worthy of pointing out. Rava Amar, however, according to Rava, they're not completely and totally opposite because as we said earlier, Rava believed that there was a machloket between Tana de Rabbi Shmuel and Rishum ben Elazar. In which case, the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel does not believe that it's completely all begadim are not metame whatsoever, except for tzemer ufishtim, right? Rava Amar ki leitle lahach Tana de Rabbi Shmuel bishar begadim shalosh al shalosh. Right? That it's only when it comes to garments that are 3x3 finger breadths, but not yet 3x3 hand breadths that these two Tanaim in the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel argue. Because by 3x3 hand breadths, that's a significant enough size that all garments are tame. Less than 3x3 finger breadths, so not even wool and flax are going to be metame. However, in between them, that's where the machloket exists. Shalosha al shalosha itle, right? So, shlosha al shlosha, everyone would agree, meaning both Tanaim would agree, that by all their garments, they're going to be metame. So it all depends on whether or not you see the Rabbi Shmuel, whether or not you believe that the Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel holds by all other garments that they're metame 3x3 hand breadths, or whether you believe that all other garments can't be metame at all. That machloka that we quoted earlier is going to impact whether or not the two Tanaim are arguing completely. V'hau Rava hu da'amar shlosha al shlosha bishar begadim l'Rishum ben Elazar itle l'tana de Berishmal leitle. Wait one second. That's not what we said earlier, right? If you noticed, that's not the same teaching we taught earlier. We said according to Rava, it was Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar who believes that other begadim can be mekabel tuma once they are 3x3 hand breadths, and Rabbi Shimon ben and the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel holds that they cannot become tame even if they are 3 hand breadths, right? So we just seem to switch those, meaning we're working under Rava's assumption, under Rava's shita, right? Previously, Rava said it was Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar who holds that once something is 3 hand breadths, even if it's not wool or flax, it can be mekabel tuma, and Tana de Rabbi Shmuel that argued on that. But here, in the latter explanation of Rava, we said that Rava holds by Tana de Rabbi Shmuel that once it's 3x3 hand breadths, everyone would agree that it can be mekabel tuma. So that's a contradiction between two different shitas of Rava. Hadar be Rava mehahi. Yeah, actually, Rava went back on his initial explanation, right? The previous teaching that we taught, Rava actually went back on it, and he didn't maintain it anymore. V'bayd Ema, alternatively, you could say as follows. Ha Rav Papa Amra, right? That this explanation of the first Tana in the Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel is actually Rav Papa's explanation. How does Rav Papa explain it, and how does that help us? Rav Papa Amar, af kol latuye kilayim. Okay. The af kol that we taught, what do we teach initially by the af kol? We taught that just like here, begadim, meaning in the case that it's first taught, begadim are wool and flax, right? Just like here, begadim refer to wool and flax, so too in all places they are wool and flax. And that's how we initially learned that begadim, or that are wool and flax, are the only things that are makabel tuma. So Rav Papa uses that same limud just to teach you something else entirely, in which case you no longer have a limud that begadim that are wool and flax are the only thing called begadim, such that they can only be makabel tuma. Okay, so what does he use that for? He comes to teach you, he uses that limud by kilaim, that the only forbidden mixtures, the only materials that are forbidden to weave together are wool and flax. And because of that, because he uses the af kol limud that we previously used to suggest that only garments that are wool and flax can be kabbalat tuma, then now he's using it not to teach you about kabbalat tuma, but rather to teach you about shatnez, the materials that cannot be woven together. I now no longer have this limud that the first Tana would hold that the wool and flax are the only things that can be kabbalat tuma. In which case, I have no contradiction between the sources. Kilayim behedya ktivi. One second. Rav Papa believes that you need an explicit limud in the pasuk to teach me that only that kilaim shatnez only applies to wool and linen. But isn't that written straight out in the Torah that it only applies to wool and linen? Lo tilbash shatnez. You may not wear shatnez. Tzemer ufishtim yachdav. What is shatnez? That is tzemer ufishtim, that's wool and flax, together, right? In which case, it's written explicitly in the Torah. Rav Papa doesn't need a limud to teach you that that's the only thing it's talking about. Salkadai tachamina, no. What would you have said if I didn't have that limud, even if I would have had the pasuk? Hani mir li derech levisha. That these words that teach me that the only thing that constitutes as shatnez, the forbidden mixtures that you can't wear together, is wool and flax, that is only derech levisha, when you're wearing it. Aval behala'a, however, if you want to put it on yourself by, you know, covering yourself, part of your body with that beged, kol tre mine aser. I would have assumed that any two materials together are going to be aser. In which case, that's why I needed that additional limud to teach me that it's not just derech levisha, that it's just wool and flax together. It's any form of using this garment that's wool and flax together, and not just any two species. Vilav kal v'chomer. But one second, isn't it a kal v'chomer? Uma levisha deka mitani kule gufe. One second, isn't it really a kal v'chomer? By what is true by levisha, right? What is true by wearing it, which your entire body gets benefit from, right? When you put on clothing, your entire body gets benefit from that clothing. Mikilaim amart tzemer ufishtim id midi achrina lo, right? That is only aser if it's tzemer ufishtim. Hala'a lo kol shaken. So all the more so by hala'a, it should only be tzemer ufishtim, meaning the kal v'chomer is like this, right? We learned that the thing that your body benefits from the most. Now, you would assume that if your body is benefiting from it more, it's going to be more stringent, right? That's the assumption the Gemara is working on. Your body's getting more of a benefit from it, so it's going to be more stringent. So by clothing, when all of your body gets benefit from it, it is only usher by tzemer ufishtim. So you would assume if there was a case where your body was getting less benefit from it, like where you're just covering yourself up with something but not actually wearing from it, all the more so it's going to only be usher by tzemer ufishtim, right? It doesn't make sense to suggest that something that is of less benefit to you because you're not covering your entire body from it is going to be usher with any two mixtures, any two species mixed together, right? Why would it be the thing that you benefit from less is much more machmir? So really, I can learn from a kal v'chomer that if you teach me that derech levisha, it's only tzemer ufishtim, I'm going to know that regardless, it's only tzemer ufishtim. Ela derav papa beduta. Rather, that's Rav Papa shita is false. I don't know. We say his shita is false, or we say that that's not actually his shita, but it's made up. That it doesn't hold water. Bedutahi. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar. So here's another suggestion. We tried to suggest that by reinterpreting the original Tana's understanding of that limud, or our understanding of the Tana, making a limud that all other garments are not mekabel tuma, then we can resolve the contradiction in the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel. Right? We have one shita in the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel that suggests that all of the garments can be mekabel tuma, and one that suggests it's only tzemer ufishtim. And so what we've been trying to do is challenge our understanding of that original limud, that it's only tzemer ufishtim that can be mekabel tuma, right? So we suggested Rav Papa's shita, which is to say that original limud that teaches me that only tzemer ufishtim mekabel tuma is actually talking about kilaim and not kabbalat tuma, but we rejected that can't be. But now we're going to try a different one. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Af Kol kol. So okay, what do we learn from af kol, that original limud that we use to learn Kabbalat Tumah only by Tzemer Ufishtim? La'atuye tzitzit. No, that's coming not to teach you that it can be mekabel, that those are the only things that can be mekabel Tumah. Rather, those are the only things that can be used for tzitzit. Tzitzit behedyaktiv. One second. But tzitzit is written explicitly or somewhat explicitly. I don't need a limud to teach me that tzitzit should be made from wool and flax. Lo tilbash shatnez tzemer ufishtim v'ktiv gedilim ta'ase lecha. Meaning, in conjunction with one another, right after each other in the Torah, it teaches, A, you cannot wear shatnez, which is tzemer ufishtim together, and then immediately after, it teaches the commandment to make fringes, to make tzitzit. And from the fact that one is taught right after the other, we learn from the juxtaposition that what constitutes as an isser of shatnez is the things that can be used for tzitzit. So it's written explicitly. Why would I need a limud from it? Salkadaita Chamina, what would you have said? Kidir Rava. Maybe you would have hailed like Rava's Shita. Rava Rami Ktiv, because Rava Kidir Rava Rami. Rava pointed out a contradiction. Ktiv hakenaf min kedaf. Right? It's written by the tzitzit that it must be the kenaf, the corner. And he learns from there min kenaf, that the fringes, the tzitzit that you make on the corner of your beged must be from the same material as the corner itself. V'chtiv, and it is also written, tzemer ufishtim yachtav, right? We also have a limud that suggests that the tzitzit can only be tzemer ufishtim, right? In which case, on the one hand, it seems that the tzitzit can be any material that the beged is, as long as it is the same material as the beged, then you're fine. And another one, which seems to suggest that you can only have a beged out of tzemer ufishtim, right? Ha ketzad. So how do you resolve this contradiction? Tzemer ufishtim potrin ben beminan ben shelo beminan. Sharminin beminan potrin shelo beminan en potrin. No, it's like this. If the tzitzit are from tzemer ufishtim, it doesn't matter what the beged is. Right, as long as the tzitzit or tzemer ufishtim, the beged can be a completely different mean. However, if the tzitzit are not tzemer ufishtim, then the beged has to be the same exact species as the same exact type of material as the tzitzit themselves. So there is a difference between them, right? And that's how you'd resolve the contradiction. If it's tzemer ufishtim, then it's fine regardless of what the rest of the beged is. However, if it's a different species, then the tzitzit and the beged itself have to be the same exact species, right? So let's just continue the proof. Right, so you may have thought to say that it's like Rava's Shita. You may have thought to hold like Rava, Kamash Malan. In which, so for that reason, I brought in this limud to teach you. Don't hold like Rava. Rather, it can be they can be from any species, not just. Sorry, rather, learn from there that it's only tzemer ufishtim, it's only wool and flax that tzitzit can be made from. Amar Rav Acha Barei Derava L'Rav Ashi L'Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel Maishna L'Inyan Tuma D'Marbi Shar Begadim D'Chtiv O Beged Hacha Nami Lema L'Rabot Shar Begadim Ma'asher Techase Ba. So it's interesting, meaning, we said that O Beged comes to include other Begadim outside of wool and flax. We said we have a limud for wool and flax, and then we said O Beged comes to teach me as well other Begadim can be Mekabal Tumah. I can suggest a similar thing by Tzitzit that teaches me all other Begadim, right? Because it says by Tzitzit, Asher Techase Ba, right? That which you cover yourself with. In which case, okay, so my original limud teaches me wool and flax, and then I have asher techaseba, anything that you'd cover yourself with, that would seem to expand the criteria of what tzitzit could be made out of, just like we expanded the criteria of what's mekabel tumah. In which case, why don't I use that pasuk to expand what can be used for tzitzit? Ahu latuye ksut suma. No, because that we're already using those words to teach you that the beged of a blind person is also chayav in tzitzit, even though that person can't see, and the whole purpose of the tzitzit is to see. huda ata. That's why it comes in. Detanya, as we learned in a braita, ureitem oto. You must see them. Prat leksut laila. That comes to exclude pajamas, clothes that you would only wear at night are not chayav and tzitzit because you don't see them. Ata omer prat leksut laila o ena ela prat leksut suma. Wait, you're telling me that it comes to exclude ksut laila, clothing that you'd only wear at night? Maybe it comes to exclude the clothing of a blind person. They're going to be, they don't have to put tzitzit on. Why? Because they can't see. Kshehu omer asher techase ba hare ksut suma amur. No. When it says asher techase ba, that teaches me that ksut suma is included. That the clothing of a blind person is chayav and tzitzit. Ha ma'ani mekayim uri item oto prat leksut laila. In which case, what am I since I already have a limud? Asher techaseba, which teaches me that a blind person's beged is chayav and tzitzit. What am I supposed to do with the ureitem oto, which is going to exclude something? Ah, okay, so that must be coming to exclude ksut laila, clothing that you'd only wear at night. Because I have already included the clothing that a blind person would wear is chayav, then I basically have two options. Ureitem oto is either excluding the clothing that a blind person would wear, or it's excluding the clothing that you only wear at night. Since comes to include the clothing of a blind person, I know that the clothing that you'd only wear at night is coming to exclude ksut laila, the clothing that you only wear at night. Umara ita lirabot suma. Okay, uvilahotzi ksut laila. Still, I have the same exact question, meaning you haven't proven to me that one is qualitatively a stronger limud than the other. You just said that asher techase ba is already including the clothing of a blind person, in which case ureitem oto comes to exclude the clothing you only wear at night. I could just as easily and just as logically suggest the exact opposite. Asher techase ba comes to include the clothing you'd wear at night, and ureitem oto comes to exclude the clothing of a blind person. Why did you see fit to davka learn it in one way, not the other? They're both options are equally logical. Marbe anik sut suma shiyeshna bereiya etzel acherim. No. I'm going to be marbe. I'm going to teach that the clothing of a blind person is more reasonable to exclude, to include in the obligation because at least other people can see them. In which case, they can be mekayim the ureitem oto through other people seeing them. Umotzi anik sut laila she'ein abriya etzel acherim. Right? And I'm going to exclude the clothing you'd wear at night from the obligation because even other people can't see them. Right? You can't see them. Other people can't see them. No one can see them because it's nighttime. Ve'ema lirabot shar begadim. Still though, I'm going to have let's go back to the original question. Asher techase ba. I said maybe asher techase ba is teaching me other begadim or chayv and tzitzit. Just like I said, beged teaches me that other begadim are mekabel tuma. And you said, no, it can't be teaching me that other begadim are chayv and tzitzit because it's already teaching me that a garment of a blind person is chayv and tzitzit. But still, I'm going to challenge your assumption. Why did you think it was more logical to teach me that it's talking about a blind person's beged than that it's coming to include all other begadim? Right? I don't see why that's a more logical limud. You can't just said, oh no, we're already using those psukim to teach me the beged of a blind person. Right? Maybe if you wanted to say, hey, I want to use these words to learn about the beged of a blind person, I'd say, no, you can't use them to learn the beged of the blind person. We're already using them to learn about all the other begadim that they could be used in tzitzit. Why is one limud, why is your limud qualitatively better than this limud? Mitzdabra kai betzemeru fishtim, marbet zemeru fishtim, kai betzemeru fishtim, marbet shar begadim. No. It makes more sense since we're talking about zemeru fishtim already. We explicitly mentioned zemeru fishtim in the juxtaposition between shatnez, which is zemeru fishtim, and tzitzit. To then include something that is semeru fishtim rather than including something that is not semeru fishtim at all. Meaning if I'm already talking about wool and flax and I have to make an additional limud that's going to include something I would have otherwise excluded, then I have two options. To include something that is wool or flax, like the garments of a blind person, or to include something that is not wool or flax, I'm going to assume that we are including something that is relevant to the category that we just set out before I would assume that that I'm including something that is above and beyond the category that we just set out. The moment you limit begadim to wool and flax, and then you teach me that you want to come to include something extra, I'm going to assume that you're including something that fits into the classification of wool and flax before I assume that you're including something that's different altogether. Amar Abaye, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, v'sumchus, amru davar echad. So Abaye points out, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, in the previous statement, and sumchus say essentially the same thing. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, hada amar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's statement is that which we already said. Going back to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's statement, it's just a different part of it. The fact that flax cannot be used as schach because it's roi lekabel tuma. Sumchus, and sumchus says the same exact thing. Detanya, sumchus omer sikha betevi. You can use omer sikha betevi psula. If you put schach with flax, whether spun or unspun flax, it's puzzle. Mipneshe mitame b'negayim, right? It's because it contracts tuma through negayim, in which case you're not allowed to use it for schach. And that essentially says the same exact thing as Rav Shimon ben Elazar. But we do make something of an assumption here. Abaye makes a bit of an assumption because sumchus says that it can be used whether it's spun flax or unspun flax. It cannot be used because it's already ro'i lekabel tuma. Rav Shimon ben Elazar doesn't say that. He just says that flax can't be used as schach because it's mekabel tuma. Now, he doesn't say garments of flax. So we're assuming that even if the flax is yet to make, even if the flax is yet to be a garment, it still cannot be used as schach. However, how do we know that even, that Rav Shimon ben Elazar would even say such a case if the flax was not prepared for weaving at all whatsoever? Sumchus believes that whether the flax has been spun or whether it was unspun, meaning whether it's ready to turn into a garment or not ready to turn into a garment, it is not mekabel tuma. It is mekabel tuma, right? The Tanna Debe, or Rav Shimon ben Elazar just says that flax is mekabel tuma. How do we know that he's referring to both spun or unspun? Come on. So whose shita is Abaye following who makes that assumption by Rav Shimon ben Elazar Shita, ki hai Tana? He's following the opinion of the following Tana. Ditnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, shati ve'arev mitame, right? If it's mitame b'negayim, miyad, right? The woof and the warp is immediately mekabel tuma. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's shita, that those strings are all automatically ready to be mekabel tuma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, hashati meshi Yishale, right? So the shati from when you boil it, ha'arev miyad, and from the woof, the cross, strings are automatically ready to mekabel tuma. The ha'unin, meaning the piles of flax that are yet unspun, shel pishtan mishe yitla benu, right? They could be mekabel tuma, from the moment that they are dyed. In which case, we see from Rabbi Yehuda's shita that the flax, even when it is not yet spun, can be mekabel tuma, in which case, Abaye believes that the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar follows that shita, that even when the flax is unspun, it's ra'ui lekabel tuma. In which case, Rav Shimon ben Elazar believes that flax, whether it's spun or unspun, it is ra'ui lekabel tuma. And because Sumchus says the exact same thing, Abaye's statement stands that Sumchus and Rav Shimon ben Elazar essentially say the same thing, that flax in any stage is ra'ui lekabel tuma.